If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the number one fan of Top Gun Maverick, Tim Geddes.
I will take it, man. I'm watching it again today. Woo! I'm already thinking about the third time I'm going to watch it. Oh, there's only number two for me.
Okay, Kevin, where are you?
What's your number? The first screener.
I've also seen it two times, and it's a bummer that I can't go today. I'm brokenhearted about it. I would, because you guys are watching Dolby, right?
Watching in Dolby.
Oh, yeah. My God. I envy you right now.
Yeah.
I want
Happy birthday, Kevin.
Oh, thank you very much.
Is that the reason you can't come today?
That's
Big
right.
Big Kev Dog's birthday is today. He's 23 years old. We're all very excited for it. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? What are you getting into tonight, Kev? What's the birthday
for? Oh, I'm just going to go eat a big, beautiful steak somewhere delicious.
Oh, nice. Okay, mm-hmm. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. The place will be delicious or the steak will be delicious?
Both.
Oh! You love to see it. What year is it, Kevin? How old are you?
I'm 32.
Wow. 20, what's your mother's maiden name?
What was that?
What's your mother's maiden name?
Yo, it's Kevin's birthday. Mm-hmm. I'm watching Top Gun Maverick again. The world at large can go watch Top Gun Maverick today. So that's going to be exciting to have more people understand how crazy we all sound is not crazy at all. It's just like absolutely nailing it. And then later tonight at midnight, Obi-Wan Kenobi episodes 1 and 2 drop. What a time to be alive. That snuck up on me, Greg. I've been talking about it for months. And I woke up this morning, I'm like, it's Thursday.
Oh, wow.
That means it's fucking Kenobi time, Greg.
I'm excited. I'm excited for you. I'm looking forward to, I'm gonna watch. I don't know when, but it might get into, I don't think it'll get into the Boba Fett route where I just ask you every morning after to recap what happened to see if I have to watch it.
This one's
good. You know what I mean? Yeah, this is gonna be a good one. This is gonna be fun. I wanna see Darth Vader again. I wanna see Obi-Wan again. I wanna see Watto. I wanna see Watto.
Yeah. Slim chance, but hey, not impossible.
Exactly. Not impossible. Anything can happen.
He's hanging around there, right?
Yeah, he's bopping around. You know, especially if we get the comic book story that's been hinted at before where Darth Vader shows up and kills Watto, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Is that so much to ask for?
Not for me.
Thank you. I don't think so either. That was a great pregnant pause. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what is great and ready to talk about video games. Let's talk about a PlayStation takeover. We have 9 news stories. All of it is pretty much PlayStation. We're going to talk about the fact that God of War Ragnarok seems more and more likely for 2022. Sony wants around half of its games to be on PC and mobile by 2025. Horizon's going to Netflix. God of War is going to Amazon. And so much more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the exclusive post show we do. And you would have the benefit of watching shows like PS I Love You, XOXO, Get Recorded Live. We're doing PS I Love You this afternoon. Today, we will be casting these Horizon God of War shows. So you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now, sign up to watch live, and then also click the little participation link and tell us who you think should be in these shows as the cast. But if none of that sounds good to you or you don't have the bucks to toss our way, no big deal. You can get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, like Rotsin One Rom, Lexi Gunner, Omega Archetype. How is it always the first fucking name I look at is like a word I've never in my life heard of? How does that statistically is impossible, but every fucking time I look at you, chat, look at DJ, or I'm sorry, Dr. Mojo Jojo X. That's an easy name. I got that one. The Singer Bro. Got it. Easy. paper with two R's. Fine. I look in there, though, and somebody's name's in hieroglyphics. I'm like, I can't fucking read this. What's wrong with me?
You don't have to read that one. You can just move on to the next one.
Kevin, I don't know if you know this. I'm a stubborn bastard, all right? I see it, you think I'm going to blink? You play chicken with me. I'm like Kevin Bacon in Footloose, all right? Except I'm not actually trying to get off the tractor because my shoelace is tied to the tractor. I'm there to fucking kill you. I don't care. Oh. I got nothing to live for. I'll barrel right through you. I don't want to live in this fucking town with no music. Shit sucks. These are some deep cut Footloose references if you're not aware, ladies and gentlemen. Anyways, back to it. All the Patreon stuff. That's great. The Twitch stuff. That's great. If you're watching live, you have a special. Oh, yeah. There you go. Fucking Burgers XYZ or whatever the fuck your name. Get out of here. You should be sorry.
Get out of here, Burgers.
You know what I mean? Fucking putting random ass X's in there. Not even in the sexy way in the front or in the back. I know what you're doing.
Sexy way.
All right. Let's do a show. If we get something wrong, you got to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com. And, of course, podcast services around the globe. Tim.
I've been thinking about something a lot recently, Greg, and I haven't had the right avenue to discuss it. And this sure isn't it, but I'm going to do it anyways. I was watching a show, and they referenced freak dancing. And it made me laugh so hard because I'm like, I think that freak dancing is such a moment in time thing where I'm not sure that kids these days ever have heard the term freak dancing. And I feel like there's a certain age group above that do not use the term freak dancing. Yeah. But freak dancing is what kids my age in middle school dances would do, where it's essentially just grinded up against each other. You know, that whole thing. It was nasty, right? Like grinded, blessing in the chat says grinded. Yeah, but like freak dancing was like, it is what people called it. And somebody like brought to my attention that like, yeah, it was just like the censored version of saying fuck, right? Like freak fuck. And I've never thought about it as fuck dancing. And that is the greatest thing I have ever heard because it is so graphic and perfect for what that shit is. Am I right, Kevin? Thank
Nasty.
You. Shout out to fuck dancing, everybody.
Kevin, did you ever fuck dance on your birthday? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be an energy today. It's my first Kind of Funny Games Daily in a week and a half. Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't remind you that we are Epic Game Partners. So if you're on the Epic Game Store, please use the creator code Kind of Funny. Every time you buy something, it'll kick us a few bucks back. You might say, I don't play anything on my PC. I don't use the Epic Game Store. No big deal. Maybe you're playing that Fortnite. We're going to talk about, of course, the fact that the new season is about here. When you're playing Fortnite on any platform, you can go ahead and use Kind of Funny as the creator code and help us out. Speaking of helping us out, Gregway, housekeeping for you. There's a new Kind of Funny podcast live right now with Ron Funches. Find out what's up with Nick Scarpino's eye and how Ron Funches gave 40 people diarrhea. It is one of our best episodes.
Are these stories connected?
No, maybe. Will Nick show you his eye by the end of the show? I don't know. Yes, you know what I mean? Yes, he will. Go ahead and click on it. And then, so anyways, that's all youtube.com/kindoffunny. Podcast services around the globe. If Ron Funches doesn't, you're like, who's that? Remember, he's a comedian. He's in a bunch of different stuff. He's got a show coming up on Apple TV soon. Most importantly, he's King Shark on Harley Quinn. So there you go. You know Ron Funches, even if you think you don't know Ron Funches. All right. And I don't do this often. I don't do it often. But I would encourage you to also go to patreon.com/kindoffunny and watch the post show for this one. Because Ron is obviously hilarious the entire show and then just does the most mega burn to me to end the post show of all time. And only it's a mega burn that could only be done if you watch the content. So that's how much of a best friend Ron Funches is. On top of that, the Kind of Funny TikTok keeps ticking and talking. Head over to @KindofFunnyGames to see Mike throw his controller across the room while playing Switch Sports and Roger review HBO Max's Winning Time. Make sure to follow for daily Kind of Funny clips. Of course, Roger and his team of editors are killing it on the Kind of Funny TikTok @KindofFunnyGames. Please go over there, follow it, subscribe, leave a comment. I hear that helps them move it up and stuff like that. All that jazz.
Algorithm.
Yeah, the algorithm. The freak nasty algorithm. Anyways, thank you to our Patreon producers, Anonymous and Fargo Brady. Today we're brought to you by MeUndies, Chime, and Credit Karma, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some Kevin birthday news. No!
Baker's dozen.
Number one. Every day, it seems like it gets closer and closer to you being able to fucking believe the bullshit coming out of Corey Barlog's mouth. Number one, God of War Ragnarok inches closer to a 2022 launch. This is Ryan Dinsdale at IGN.com. God of War Ragnarok has received a rating in South Korea, suggesting the game is on track for its 2022 release date. Spotted by recent era user Modiz. See, again, that's a name I look at. I'm like, I can say that easily. All right? Ragnarok was rated, and this isn't even a, you know, because this is a made up name. These aren't people's names. You know, obviously you see me struggle with all sorts of names in the show that are like first and last name. That's a different thing. When I look over here and it's just a bunch of gibberish letters in the goddamn Twitch chat, drives me fucking crazy. Anyways, Ragnarok was rated as an 18 and over game by South Korea's Game Rating and Administration Committee. And a game being rated usually signifies that a relatively complete version has been presented and therefore isn't too far from being released. While developer Sony Santa Monica has reassured fans recently, remember Bruno, that the long-awaited sequel, The God of War 2018, will be released this year, there's also been reason to be a little skeptical. 2022 has proved a particularly nasty year for game delays, as the impact of COVID-19 still echoes throughout the industry. 29 games have been affected by delays this year so far, headlined by the recent shift of Bethesda's Redfall and Starfield into next year. Timothy Robert Geddes. Do you believe we will be playing Ragnarok by December 31st, 2022?
You know, I've been saying for a while now in the last couple of weeks that my gut tells me we will be. And I stand by that. I think that more and more evidence is building towards that. Again, anything can change at any given moment. But I stand by. I believe that they believe it's coming out this year and that they are working as hard as they can to make that the case. Over on Twitter, in reaction to this news, Tidus, T-I-D-U-X, gave a little bit more context that I think is interesting, saying that God of War got rated in Korea. As comparison, Horizon Forbidden West got rated in November and then released in February. So if you look at that timeline there, I'd be interested if this information was out there for other games to try to see if there is a pattern of, is it 4 months after, you know, or is that just kind of like around there? But like, that is pretty soon, right? Like, that's
it's that thing for me where I can only talk, you know, off the cuff and not having things back me up. If it's getting rated, it's close. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's generally a thing. And of course, now you're all welcome to dig up every time we've seen something get rated as like a digital classic, whatever, downloadable title that doesn't come out for years or we don't even hear about ever. Like, that does happen as well. But for a big name game to go through the hurdles of getting things rated, that does mean it's close. I believe. I'm finally starting to turn the corner to where I'm going to allow myself to believe that I'm going to play God of War this year, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Like, it's very exciting. I really am itching to get back into that world, and I'm excited to play a big new PlayStation 5 game. Like, I feel like that is something that I haven't had since Ratchet, really, because Horizon, not really my thing, and I played a whole bunch of the Forbidden West. I still haven't beat it yet, and I'm making my way through. I'm going to beat it by the end of the year, but it's just not my thing. So it's like, God of War is very much my thing, and I'm very excited to play it. And I believe, Greg, and I'm putting it out in the world that it's going to happen. So guess what? It's going to happen.
Lucid Dream thinks it's going to happen too and says, Ragnarok seems like it might be on track to launch this fall. What would you consider to be the ideal release date, knowing the dates of other AAA titles coming out? And then Lucid Dream on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames then says 10-11, October 11th for Forspoken, October 25th for Gotham Knights, October 28th for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Tim, Jim Ryan ousted, you're in charge, you turn to Herman, you guys smoke a cigar, you have a nice glass of bourbon, you go out for a little boat ride in Amsterdam. What are you picking for the release date for God of War Ragnarok?
So looking at the big titles that they named there, which I do think are the biggest titles we have dates for the rest of the year so far, you got to imagine summer. What's up?
I said, chat, keep us honest. If they have something else you want to throw out a date that's a big game, like Forspoken, Gotham Knights, or Call of Duty.
There's the Nintendo side of things, right? But I like Pokemon, but I almost feel like that is a completely different audience in a way that is either different and they're not interested, or they're going to buy both and that's not a worry at all. But then there is the question of Summer Game Fest. What games do we not know about? They're going to get dates for later this year. I doubt there's going to be too many of those. Like, I don't think there's going to be too many giant heavy hitters. So honestly, God of War doesn't matter when it comes out. It's going to be the game and it's going to win that fight. There's no reason. What's up?
Keep going. If you want to keep pontificating.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know when we look at these games, are they all three going to hit those dates? Forspoken, October 11th?
Believe it.
I believe it, but would totally believe it changing. And I think that it is just as likely it's going to change as stay the same. Gotham Knights, same thing. I believe it. But if it got delayed to next year, would not be surprised at all. I think the only reason that I would be a little more confident in this one is I feel like just knowing Warner and knowing how their financial quarters work, like they need this game to come out this year, more so than Forspoken has to come out for Square. Call of Duty is going to hit the date, but I don't think Call of Duty Modern Warfare matters at all in this conversation. So
we're talking about versus God of War. No. And what's actually more interesting, I think, is when you look at Gotham Knights and you go, oh, WB needs that for their quarter and they've put a date on it. What does that mean for Hogwarts Legacy? That's a 2022 game, right? Like they don't want those things stepping on each other, especially.
Yeah.
Know? Even though, yeah, again, different audience is a Batman fan, a Harry Potter fan. I understand it's different, but whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're making a good point. And I wonder if they need both of them, though, if they need like the sure. double hit of it, because like when you look at their last couple of years, there's already been delays. There's already been shakeups with some of these titles. So I think that God of War, if I had to say when would be the ideal release date for it. God of War is one of those rare titles that it's like I don't have a good answer because they're all great answers. Like it's going to come out. And it's going to be fine. So
well, no here's matter, the problem with what you're saying, Tim. You are existing in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. All right. You are in a vacuum where you're putting God of War against these three games here that we're talking about in seeing. Mm-hmm. I ask you to take the blue pill, Tim.
Okay.
And expand your mind. All right. It was the blue pill that did it, or would that keep you in the thing? I didn't watch these fucking movies with, I didn't care that much about. Anyways, take the blue pill, expand your mind. And then I ask you this. What if The Last of Us remake is real? Mm. What if that is really coming this year? Mm-hmm. And then what does that do to you? What I think I would say. I'm going to say, if I'm a betting man and I'm putting money on the table and doing it all over, I'm saying September for God of War. Okay. I think PlayStation gets out before the holiday rush, because I put down a whole bunch of games here and I know that there's a million things to go back and forth on whatever and argue about. But PlayStation recently with their bigger games, mainly due to delays, I think, and everything else, has ended up really existing in that spring summer time frame, right? When you go back and look at some of the dates I've listed here, we're talking about, you know, obviously Last of Us Part Two and Ghost of Tsushima were COVID-19 problem children, so June 19th, July 17th respectively, right? God of War itself, you know, 2018 was April 20th, Returnal April 30th 2021, Miles Morales was a launch title, so November 12th 2020, Death Stranding November 8th 2019. Like there's a whole bunch of different dates, but PlayStation, I don't see feeling like they have to go out there and compete for that actual fall timeline. I think if they have God of War ready, they'd want to go in September. And then I think if you want to have Remake ready, you wait as long as you can to give them as much time with that. Because it seems like that one's taking longer, but it seems like with us knowing nothing about it, it seems like the further out game.
So that's interesting. But.
Yeah.
He just went red. Last of Us December. I feel like that is the right thing that I feel in my soul.
Sure.
It makes a lot of sense. It feels like the type of December Sony release that they push, especially it being something that is like exciting, but it's also not like the pusher for the hardcore people that watch shows like this, right? Like God of War is obviously the bigger hitter. I would say the earlier they can get God of War out, the better. So September, August totally makes sense to me, right? Yeah. Like what I do think is it won't be November and it won't be December if they have anything to say about it, right? It might at some point hit a point that they're like, yo, we got to delay it. We need X, Y, and Z weeks, months, whatever it is. And that might cause it to be November, December. But I bet that they want it to be as early as August or as late as October.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that.
I think July is too early.
Yeah,
I think there's too much going on in July.
You want to run up for that. Though like it's been quiet now, like they're going to do a PR run up for that. There will be a hands-on, I'm assuming, somewhere to go play that and be a part of that. There will be a state of play. There will be a traditional ramp up to the release of God of War Ragnarok that I just don't think you get enough time for right now, especially with all the noise that this Jeff Keighley's making with Summer Game Fest and everybody else is trying to get out here in June.
Well, that's the thing too, is like, okay, Summer Game Fest is happening, and you and I and the team just did a meeting yesterday talking about our plans for Summer Game Fest, and it's such an interesting year for the event, for E3, for whatever this time frame is, because it's obviously very exciting. And there's some things I'm extremely looking forward to, specifically the Summer Game Fest event itself. Like, I feel like there's pros and cons to what I'm saying right here. The cons are it's kind of the least exciting year ever in terms of this stuff, just because there's very few showcases. There are like, it's not like even last year or the year before, which were weird because of COVID, but at least we knew, oh, we're getting Ubisoft Forward, we're getting a State of Play. The one question was, where's the Nintendo Direct 2 years ago, right? It was like when we were waiting up till that June date, and it was like people were slowly locking in their time frames. But by the time we were this close to it, we knew, okay, we have like 10, 15 showcases to react to, right? Here it's like we have like three. And like that's weird. Now there's some good to that. I do think that a lot of the fat got cut. I do think that there are showcases that we're just not going to react to this time. We're not going to like, we'll look at the press release later because we know what they're going to be. They've proven themselves the last couple of years. But to look at it and be like, the only big dogs we know about right now are Summer Game Fest and Microsoft, that's a bit weird. Now the pro of that is we only know about those, and that means they're the only ones right now. So Summer Game Fest might have a lot more bangers than spreading them across a bunch of other places, right?
That'd be the hope, right? As we look ahead, you know what? It's Thursday today, right? So 2 weeks from today, the Summer Games Fest event, the stream they're doing. Yeah, the hope is, for me personally, is the fact that, okay, Jeff's the only game in town. So is he loaded for bear? Does he have big announcements? Does he have stuff from PlayStation? Does he have a God of War Ragnarok trailer there? I'm not trying to set your expectations there. I would always say be cautious and say and assume no, he won't. PlayStation's going to keep that tight and not share it and do it on their own and make their own moments and yada yada yada. I would always say that. I don't want to. I'm not trying to get in people's heads or to give them, you know, hope for that. But that is like, you look at it and you go, man, I hope that's what's happening. I hope that Jeff has earned that spot after Game Awards, after Opening Night Live, after what he's done with Summer Game Fest in general. And now, yeah, there being no E3, so it is a neutral ground. It isn't that you need to go and worry about the ESA. You can go to Jeff, who's been good to you, and be good to him, hopefully, and give him really cool shit.
Absolutely. And I think that he's pushing for that. Like, I guarantee he's the very least asked, right? So we'll have to see. But like, when is a PlayStation event going to happen? When is Nintendo going to have their event? Those are the two biggest questions about this summer right now that I don't know we're going to get an answer for anytime soon. So it's just really kind of a weird, bizarre time that we're 2 weeks away from E3 season, and it's going to be essentially like a handful of days and then just be over.
We will see. We will see. Where are you? What are you all doing? Ubisoft, what's your plan? What are you going to say? You know?
What are you going to say?
We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. But for now, God of War seems to be marching towards an actual release date this year. As I said at the top, it's pretty much all PlayStation news today. So we'll move to number two. There are two more live service games from PlayStation this fiscal year. We go to VGC, where Andy Robinson's doing God's work and writes, PlayStation is set to release two live service games during its current fiscal year, which ends March 2023. That's according to Sony Interactive Entertainment President Jim Ryan, who said during a business briefing on Thursday that the company currently had what it considered to be one live service game in MLB The Show 22. Of course, with, you know, the packs and you open up the cards and you do your whole gameplay that way. A slide shared during the briefing showed that the company plans to expand the number of services games by two during its current fiscal year. Asked by an analyst if the two additional titles were announced or included a Destiny release from Bungie, the studio it's set to acquire, Ryan said, quote, Destiny is not included in the three games slated for FY22. The two others are yet to be announced, end quote. During the briefing, Ryan said Sony considered live service titles to be, quote, games with no end, end quote. Sony plans to have released 12 such titles by its 2025 fiscal year, a slide shown during the briefing indicated. With three arriving fiscal year 23, four in fiscal year 24, and two more in fiscal year 25. During the same briefing, Ryan suggested at least some of the live service games it has in development are planned for PC. Tim, does this do anything for you?
For me, no. For PlayStation, yes. And I do think it's very interesting to look at PlayStation kind of expand its offerings and try to get out of just being the best third-person single-player games of all time studios, right? And like to kind of find those ways to make the asinine amount of money that other companies are making in these different kind of verticals. So yeah, I think it totally makes sense. And I mean, them having Destiny and it not being included here, but Destiny being one of the better examples of these type of titles, right? Like, it took a while for it to find its footing, and even with Destiny 2 there was like some little issues here and there or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's like these are genres that are not going to go away, if you even want to call live service games genres at this point. It's just kind of like a type of gaming. So it's like, I feel like this is probably good news. Yeah, it's a vertical within their gaming offering even. And when you take that, it's like, I think that they have good people working on this, and I hope that they just do it the right way, and that it's done correctly sooner than having to take a couple years, which seems to be the trend with all of these games. Like, it seems like there isn't any that just come out the gate and nail the format, even though we're a decade into these type of games existing. But we are also a couple years removed from the catastrophic failures of things like Anthem. So I think that we are probably going to start seeing the reactions to those learnings with how game design works, and how everything kind of has to work on a couple year late shift over to things. Like, I think that by the time we get to fiscal year 23, 24, 25, these live service games can be fine tuned to a point that they are giving gamers what they actually want from that type of vertical.
100%. And I think it's also interesting that when you get into this conversation, we don't know what we're talking about because of how nebulous live service is to them. You know, I think you think Destiny, okay, of course that would make sense. And MMO, sure. The fact that they're counting the show, and because of the trading cards, it has similar to my faction in WWE 2K22, which I love, and, you know, turn on nearly every day to screw around with and get some cards or get some points. Like, it's such a, it reminds me very much of when we talked about back in the day at IGN, you know, somebody come back from a preview and they're like, oh, it has RPG elements. Like 2008, 2009. Oh, this game I went and played. Yeah, it's got RPG elements. Like, there's a skill tree that you earn, you know, you're like, oh, that's really interesting. And now every game has that. That's just, you don't even think, when you talk about a skill tree or progression and leveling up in a game, you don't say it's RPG elements. It's just what games are now and how it all works. And so what that will actually look like will be interesting, especially also from VGC and from the same call. There's a whole bunch of news out from this. Tom Ivan had grabbed this one, saying that PlayStation reveals plan to split investment 50-50 between existing and new IP. And that's them talking about the fact that as they go up through their fiscal years, right? Speaking Thursday, SIE CEO Jim Ryan said that by fiscal year 2025, the company plans the split to be 50-50 between new IP and established IP, which I think speaks a little bit to what they're doing here, and especially as they talk about ramping up to 12 live service games, right, by fiscal year 2025. They're talking about new ideas, new things. So it isn't, hopefully, your next God of War having something shoehorned into it. If Sony Santa Monica or whoever's developing it wants to do it, awesome. It's not something shoehorned in. Hopefully it's new IP. But yeah, they're going to be throwing some stuff at the wall.
Hopefully it's new IP, or hopefully it's IP that we love that actually makes sense. Don't shoehorn it into God of War, but Last of Us Factions.
Sure.
Right, like, yeah, that's the thing, is like, I think that this there's a lot of news we're talking about today that is building a very strong story for PlayStation strengthening itself to not just be one thing, but to be that one thing, still dominate at that, and potentially dominate other things, and using their IP in every way possible, whether it's across multimedia TV shows and movies and stuff, going on PC, having new IP and old IP, and finding new ways to use both the new and old IP with different types of games and different types of monetization strategies.
Now, I've talked about all this, these two live service games, blah, 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 right? And what I ended there was, during the same briefing, Ryan suggested at least some of the live service games it has in development are planned for PC. Speaking of, Gregway, number three on the Roper Report, Sony wants around half of its games to be on PC and mobile by 2025. This is John Porter at The Verge. Sony plans for roughly half of its game releases to be on PC or mobile by 2025, according to a presentation given during the company's annual investor day. A chart shown during the presentation suggests this would be a major increase from its releases this year, when around a quarter of the company's releases will be on PC and mobile, and the remainder split between PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 consoles. Quote, by expanding to PC and mobile, and it must be said, also to live services, we have the opportunity to move from a situation of being present in a very narrow segment of the overall gaming software market to being present pretty much everywhere, said Sony Interactive Entertainment President Jim Ryan in comments reported by Video Games Chronicle, VGC. Killing it out there today, guys. Ryan went on to say, that investing in PC and mobile could lead to significant growth in the number of people who play our games, the number of people who enjoy our games, and the number of people who spend money on our games, end quote. On the mobile side, VGC reported last year that Sony had hired former content boss of Apple, who was the first of several new hires to join PlayStation Studios to focus on mobile. In a slide, the company said it plans to release mobile games via a couple of different avenues, including co-developing titles with existing mobile developers, as well as establishing its own network of studios.
Timmy? Hell yeah, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that this is great. It's all so weird to have talked about video games as long as we have, to see such monumental shifts in things that we talk about it a lot. Game Pass, how does it exist? How the hell is every first party Xbox title coming day and date? Like, that is a wild dream world, but it's now reality, and we're seeing what that means for video games at large. On the other side, PlayStation titles coming to PC, you would have never thought. And it's like, okay, maybe every once in a while something like Death Stranding, while surprising, it's like, okay, cool, that wasn't officially first party, and you know, there's a lot of technicalities with that, but to get things like God of War and Horizon, and to see the success that they have found, that is such a wild world, but it is a great world. This is what we need to be able to see to have Sony continue to dominate the way that they have, and to fund these games on the level that they need to, as AAA games get more and more expensive and demanding, and finding more ways to get profit from those projects with relatively minimal work in terms of porting compared to having to create a brand new game or whatever, when we're talking about potentially some of the greatest games of all time. Yeah. I think that, and at the very least, some of the greatest games of the present, right? I think that this is awesome. Just gets it in more hands to different gamers, and the mobile side's interesting. Looking at this, around half its games by 2025, I wonder if what that means, like what that, the reasoning behind that is that just a workflow logistics thing, or is that being them being like, not all games need to, it doesn't necessarily make sense to put Gravity Rush,
whoa,
whatever, on PC. I'm just using an example of like, okay, a game that's like, watch a little bit lower, or Patapon, Greg. Does that make sense? Does it not? I don't know. You know, maybe it makes sense on mobile. Maybe that doesn't make sense somewhere else. Like, I don't think it needs to be a one size fits all of everything is on PC and PlayStation day and date all the time. Like, I don't know that that necessarily makes sense. Maybe it does. Maybe by 2030, that will be the case. But I wonder the who, what, when, where, why of it all. And sure, when you look at PlayStation, we know who they are. We know what we're excited to see during their showcases. We know what we're waiting for. It's Spider-Man, it's Horizon, it's God of War, it's XYZ, Last of Us, continue. At what point are those games on PC as well? And why aren't others?
Sure. And it's the big question of what is your windowing, right? I think mobile is a different ball of wax, as he goes into here at the end, where he's talking about the fact that they've hired a team co-developing, you know, maybe even doing existing mobile developers, yada, 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 their own network, blah, blah, blah. Like, just talk about putting your stuff on PC. Yeah, it's like, well, they've seen success with that. We're going to get into that in a second, or we could get into it now if you want, because there's a bunch of stuff that's all related here. Do you want to get into it right now?
Get into it.
Fine. Okay, then. Kevin, I'm actually throwing you a curveball, and I'm going to jump to number five instead of number four. That's a more transition. So speaking of, Gregway, number five, not number four. Sony expects to make $300 million from PC releases this year. This is Eddie Macko over at GameSpot. Sony has announced new sales numbers for its latest PC releases of formerly PlayStation-exclusive console games, including Horizon Zero Dawn, Days Gone, and God of War. Not only that, but Sony is predicting a huge upswing in revenue from PC releases in the next 12 months to $300 million, which suggests the company will announce and release more PC games soon. Horizon Zero Dawn's PC edition has sold around 2.4 million copies, driving revenue of $60 million. God of War moved 971,000 units and made $26.2 million in revenue, while Days Gone shifted 852,000 copies and brought in $22.7 million in revenue, Sony said. All of these figures are good through March 2022. Looking ahead, Sony said it is expecting to see exponential growth for its PC games in the future. Specifically, Sony said it expects to make $300 million in net sales from PC releases in fiscal year 22, which began April 1st this year and runs through March 31st, 2023. Sony has Uncharted The Legacy of Thieves Collection coming for release on PC this year, but that game alone isn't expected to bring in $300 million, of course, which suggests that Sony has more PC releases on the way this year that it hasn't spoken about yet. In October, Sony created a PlayStation PC division, which is seemingly the name of the publishing label for PlayStation games on PC. A recent Steam database leak also revealed that Sackboy: A Big Adventure is in the works for PC potentially, while more recently, a PC port of Returnal has emerged. This all happened after Sony acquired PC port specialist studios Nixes, fueling further speculation about Sony's plans for PC. I'm just going to toss it in here then. Number four story was Steam listing suggests Returnal is coming to PC. This is Andy Robinson at VGC. A new listing on Steam's database appears to suggest that PS5 exclusive Returnal is coming to PC. SteamDB logged the presence of a new product in the database, which goes by the code name Oregon. The title is listed with tags like roguelike, sci-fi, and bullet hell, but the clearest indication that it is related to Housemarque's title are references to the Tower of Sisyphus and Aatrops, which feature in Returnal. One source shared footage with VGC, appearing to show Returnal running on PC, which strongly suggests it's one of the next PlayStation console exclusives to in line for a port. Returnal PC is yet another seemingly legitimized... Returnal PC is yet another title seemingly legitimized from a huge leak of unannounced games on NVIDIA GeForce Now's streaming service last year. Tim, a long two stories to drop you back in there to say, yeah, Sony's coming hard at PC, and yeah, what does that mean? You want to know what we're talking about in terms of half and half. What is that going to look like? What does it look like when you talk about new games, old games, new IP, existing IP?
Well, I'll tell you what, it looks like money. $60 million for God of War, for a port of God of War. There's no way that wasn't worth the investment, right? You even dropped that down. Like, $60 million for Horizon Zero Dawn. Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. Horizon Zero Dawn, $60 million. That is nice. $26 million for God of War. It's only been out a couple months on PlayStation or on PC. That number is sure to grow. And even something like Days Gone, that isn't the same level of hit that the last two I named were. $22 million in revenue on PC. Like, they'd be silly to not keep doing this and double down and put as many games as possible because they got the games. That's the thing about PlayStation, is they've spent the last 5 years proving they got the hits and just coming out with hit after hit after hit and then sequelizing those. So we're going to continue to get them. The big question for me becomes, what is the right strategy for them? Does it ever become day and date where we're on PlayStation and PC? In my opinion, that's what they should do at this point. Wow, really? Yeah, I do think, because like, I think that like the audience is going to be different enough. And I see that there's no losing in my mind, because I think the other strategy of waiting a year or a couple months or whatever and then putting it on PC drums up a little bit of hype in a different way and kind of gets you a little bit of a boost. But in my heart of hearts, I'm not convinced that they wouldn't just make more money having all the marketing push to, like, it doesn't matter where you play it here or there. Let's get that. And I think it's interesting going back to talking about the Game Pass side of things, of like, the industry has just shifted and changed so much. And I love that we're in this moment right now where we are years into Nintendo, PlayStation, and Microsoft all doing something very different from the other. And now the learnings are starting to become a little bit clear, and we're starting to see them look at each other and be like, how do we adapt that to our ecosystem? And how do we kind of like make some of these steps? And seeing the success that Microsoft has had with the Play Anywhere strategy and the super ridiculous player base numbers that come out the first weekend, time after time after time for these games, I'm sure Sony's brass are looking at that and are like, that'd be nice if we had it too. Granted, they already have astronomical sales numbers. They're already going to dominate headlines, but we're in this new arms race of these numbers are just getting higher and higher and higher. It's very similar to the movie side of things, of making $1 billion for blockbuster movies at this point is an expectation. That is wild to think about. But the video games are on the same side of that, man. Like, the numbers are just so astronomically high. The expectations are so high for these AAA, quadruple A games that are costing hundreds of millions of dollars to make. I really think they're going to have to rethink some of their strategies and not be stubborn about stuff and kind of be okay learning from the competitors.
It'll be interesting. I think day and date PlayStation on PC games on PlayStation and PC, I believe, is inevitable, just because that's how the market is moving and working, right? But I don't think it's soon. I think that's something they do when they really do feel their feet to the fire, when they really do see that they could have made, you know, okay, this is great that we, you know, made, you know, 2.4 million copies on Horizon here, or, you know, nearly a million on God of War on PC. But if we would have launched day and date, would we have made 2 million on God of War, you know, instead of that? Would we have crushed that number even more? But what would that have done to PlayStation? And then don't forget, you're also, when you're buying it on PlayStation, you're also already having bought the PlayStation 5 or whatever, the PlayStation console that we're talking about in this hypothetical, the PlayStation controller, all the other PlayStation stuff you need, where they are making money there and they are keeping you in an ecosystem and they are getting you to buy a PSN where they get the 30% cut. Like, there's so much going on that I feel right now that they're doubling down on this PC thing, sure, because they want to port their stuff over. And sure, they're probably going to make something early original there, right, in terms of where they go with it, and especially with the mobile stuff and where that stuff will start going. But I still don't buy that it'll be anytime soon. I think when PlayStation slides, when they're not making as much money, when they've moved off of, you know, being top dog and they need to worry about this, that's when you go day and date all over. But I don't see that anytime soon.
I mean, the other side of that, though, is money doesn't just come from this, from one place. Like, there's different types of revenue streams coming through, sure, and them partnering with certain games that are Epic exclusive. Guess what? Epic's paying for that. So it's like that is probably a very, very high number that they could be making a lot of money from, in the same way that developers are getting paid by Game Pass, like certain, sure, like ridiculous sums that they might not have ever even hit just from sales of their games, right? And I think on the PlayStation side, it's like, there's been inconsistencies in what games are on Epic, what games are on Steam. And I think that is Sony kind of looking at it and being like, there isn't a one size fits all to this. How do we maximize the money we're making from it? And I don't know where the right answer falls in all that, but I do think that the PC side of this, I think, is a dramatically different conversation than the console side of what people expect from PlayStation. And I think that the growing PC base is going to continue to do just that, but I don't think that it is going to drastically affect PlayStation 5 owners and users and what they're going to do. I don't think putting it day and date on both lessens the PS5 sales. I think that the amount of people that are like, well, I would have bought it on PS5, but I'm going to buy it here instead, either already have a PlayStation 5, so all that stuff goes out the window, or at least most of that stuff goes out the window. There is still the fact of PlayStation making more money if you buy it on the PlayStation Store. But I do think that especially with where we're at with console shortages as well, like, that's not going to be gone anytime soon. So I don't know. There has to be a convergence point where
they look 100% at it and like,
yeah, so we'll see.
I 100% agree with that. I agree. I'm sorry, what was the question?
I just don't know if it's ever going to happen this generation.
I do not think it happens this generation.
But with that, though, it's like, I don't know if we're going to get a date this generation, but I also don't even know if PlayStation's going to be able to keep up with demand for the console at any point during this generation, at least not in a way that supports the pipeline of games that they want to create the way that they want to do them. Like, I think that the supply shortages are not going to go away. And then at some point, there's going to be a new version of the PlayStation 5. And like, we're going to be playing catch up for a very long time in terms of what a next gen game means. And with Gotham Knights kind of being one of the first examples of a pure next gen experience, right? Like, are we going to start getting a lot more of those? Or do we actually have more years of cross gen than we thought anticipated? We yeah.
Paul Tassi over at Forbes has an article up that I didn't put in here for the actual run of the show, but for this, it's a fun little thing. PlayStation 4 sold 6 units a minute. PlayStation 5 is selling nearly 1,000. Just how insane is the PlayStation 5 demand? Sony came up with a striking comparison in a recent presentation about the future of the brand and the current situation of console sales. We all know that PlayStation 5s are selling out instantly whenever they appear, anywhere. But Sony explains just how fast the system is selling compared to its predecessor. In the US, at this stage in the console's life cycle, the PS4 sold 80,000 units in 9 days. The PlayStation 5 has been selling 80,000 units in 82 minutes on average. That's 6 sales a minute for PlayStation 4, nearly 1,000 sales a minute for PlayStation 5. And then they go on to talk about purchase interest and yada 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 and how it is. There's a lot of factors to this, Tim. And you bring up you know, a lot of interesting ones to it, of course, of the shortage and how many units you could be moving on your games, cross-gen, not want to leave that behind, just trying to get to people who would never come over and buy, because you know, you look at God of War, you look at Horizon coming to PC, and I was always saying, well, those are coming over to get you excited about those games so that you go buy a PlayStation 5 and you play Horizon 2, right? You go buy the PlayStation 5, you play God of War 2. And I'm sure they still on some level want that. And I'm sure that is going to happen. There will be a percentage of PC players who didn't own a PlayStation 4 and didn't play those games before and now are going to make the jump. But there are obviously the PC purists who want to hang out and just use that. And why not get the money from them eventually? I digress. Why not give your money to us, ladies and gentlemen? You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Support us there. Get to watch us record PS I Love You XOXO later today. Get to see the post-show Tim and I will record after this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily. And just have a great time. But most importantly, you can go there to get the show without any of the shows, all the shows, without any ads. But you didn't go there. So right now, here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. I love MeUndies from head to toe, all over my body. If you don't believe me, of course, right now, I'm wearing the MeUndies shirt. You can tell by the little tag going on right there, right? I got the MeUndies lounge shorts going on. Of course, I got the undies. And then, boom, MeUndies socks, baby. That's how we do out here at Kinda Funny. I love being soft head to toe in the micromodal fabric. You already know all about that. But if you don't, let's face it, summer's sweaty, but your butt doesn't have to be. With MeUndies' light and breathable micromodal fabric, you can stay comfy and cool all summer long. They have super fun seasonal prints and tons of styles to choose from. But if you just like classic black, that's totally cool too. They got a bunch of just bold colors for you to go for. They have super fun seasonal prints, tons of styles, and sizes extra small to 4XL. So you can bring the beach to your butt without ever leaving your living room. MeUndies has a great offer for all of you first-time purchasers. You can get 15% off if you sign up for their free to join membership. You can apply that 15% off to their already discounted membership prices. To get 15% off your first order and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Tell them Tim Getty sent you. Shout out to Chime for sponsoring this episode. No one likes waiting on a paycheck, especially when you've got bills due. Good thing there's Chime. Now you can get your paycheck up to 2 days early without direct deposit. That's up to 2 more days to save, pay bills, and generally just feel good about your money situation. But Chime is about more than just getting paid early. It's also an award-winning mobile app, checking account, debit card, and optional savings account. What are you waiting for? Hopefully not your paycheck. Get started with Chime today. Applying for a free account takes less than 2 minutes. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Get started at chime.com/kfgames. Shout out to Credit Karma for sponsoring this episode. Want a new credit card but not sure how to choose? You don't need to apply for the first offer that you see in the mail. Credit Karma can help you zero in on the right option for you and apply with more confidence. I love Credit Karma. I've been using it for years to check my credit profile, make sure everything is good and on the up and up. Credit Karma uses your credit profile to show you offers that are tailored to your financial situation. Credit Karma partners with a wide range of card issuers, so you can be sure that you're exploring all sorts of options. Best of all, Credit Karma uses your credit data to show you your chances of approval before you even apply, helping you apply with more confidence. Comparing cards on Credit Karma is 100% free and most importantly, will not affect your credit score. That is huge. Credit Karma, create your own karma. Ready to find the right card for you? Head to Credit Karma and check out your personalized mix of offers today. That's creditkarma.com or hit up the Credit Karma app to find the right card for you. That's creditkarma.com.
I bet you all thought the PlayStation news was over, but you fucking morons are wrong. Number silly, six on stupid. The Roper Report. You're getting more PlayStation TV shows. We go to IGN.com, wow, where Ryan Dinsdale writes, three major PlayStation franchises are getting TV adaptations, with Horizon going to Netflix, God of War to Amazon, and Gran Turismo to a currently unannounced platform or network. Revealed in an investor briefing on May 26th and confirmed by industry insiders, including David Gibson on Twitter, Sony president Jim Ryan revealed during a Q&A that the company was expanding its entertainment adaptations even further. The long-rumored God of War series and other shows will join PlayStation exclusives, including The Last of Us, Uncharted, and Ghost of Tsushima, in being adapted to other media, though there's no inclination as to when we will see these released. On top of that, Blessing put in the PS I Love You chat a second ago a Nibelian tweet that's quoting over from The Hollywood Reporter, right? Nibel writes, aside from Twisted Metal, The Last of Us, and Ghost of Tsushima, there are 10 more PlayStation IPs coming to film and TV. And this is the part from this Hollywood Reporter article. He noted the two spinoffs of Amazon's The Boys that are currently in production, as well as titles based on PlayStation franchises like Twisted Metal, Last of Us, and Ghost of Tsushima, and added that there are 10 more PlayStation titles in various stages of development for film and TV. Tim, how stoked are you for a Gran Turismo?
I mean, I'm personally not that stoked for Gran Turismo, but I am stoked at this news. And I think that it's really good for PlayStation, and it's really good for all these streaming services and entertainment in general. Like, I love that so many IP are getting shots at different TV shows or movies. And I think that them kind of looking to all the different distributors and production studios in different ways for different projects is smart and the right way to handle this. More than anything, I'm happy that Last of Us is with HBO. Yeah. That's like, cool, great. Everything else, don't really worry about that much. Uncharted was fine. It was a good time. It wasn't anything amazing. It also was not bad by any stretch of the imagination. Twisted Metal seems to be a perfect dumb thing for Peacock. That's a Peacock level show.
Go get him, Anthony Mackie.
Watch it on Peacock. God of War being Amazon Studios, I feel like Amazon so far hasn't really had that one big breakout hit in terms of that type of level of IP that I feel that it would need to really be something special. But I think that it's inevitable. It's going to happen. We have Lord of the Rings later this year. Maybe that'll be it. I don't know. I'm not that big of a Lord of the Rings guy. But I think the Gran Turismo thing is the easy joke on this one, right? And like, it will be the thing tweeted about the most in response to this news story. But like, the reality is there is a audience for Gran Turismo games. That speaks for itself. We see the sales numbers. But on top of that, like, everyone wants to dunk on Netflix and dunk on all these streaming services of like how much shit they're putting out, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is people are watching these things and they're finding niche content that speaks to them. The F1 show on Netflix is one of the most popular shows Netflix has ever had. And I know so many people that couldn't give a fuck less about cars driving in a circle that are hopelessly addicted to the show after starting it. I definitely think that Gran Turismo can have that type of magic, can grab people if they just present it right and put it on the right platform and put it in front of the audience that they've already kind of been gaining and teaching the language of how to get people hooked on this different type of content. And then going down the list, like things like Horizon and Ghost, I think those, they write themselves of they could work. Am I saying they're going to be the best things ever? No, but I think that they have a better chance at being okay, like the Halo show, than being bad at this point.
Is the Halo show okay? Is that what we came down on?
It's just okay. Yeah, I feel like there's some things that they really messed up and some things that they did pretty okay. There's a couple moments that are like, yeah, this is cool. But I think the biggest problem of the show is it didn't really speak to Halo fans and it didn't really speak to non-Halo fans. It kind of tried a little bit of this and a little bit of that and it just fell somewhere short. Gotcha. I don't know a single person that truly loved the Halo show.
Sure. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, PS I Love You XOXO is recording this afternoon, 1 p.m. Pacific time. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to watch live and then also chime in on who you think should be cast in God of War and Horizon. We will be doing that as topic of the show. Now, take a breath, everybody. You're finally done with the PlayStation news. Just kidding, motherfucker. Number 7. I got an update on that PlayStation Plus debacle yesterday. Remember how it was like, oh man, you bought the new PlayStation Plus at a discount. You owe us money or whatever. Ask PlayStation yesterday tweeted out, due to a technical error, players in Asia who have previously purchased a PlayStation Plus membership at a discount have been incorrectly charged for their upgraded pricing. The error has been fixed and the impacted players will receive a credit. We thank you for your patience. So there you go. That was something I know we talked about yesterday on the show. That was in fact an error and has been corrected. So don't fret if PlayStation Plus new and improved is not in your territory yet. It'll be fixed by the time it gets there. Number 8.
I'm excited to play around with this shit, Greg. So much talk about PlayStation Plus.
You gonna platinum siphon filter?
Siphon filter, I can guarantee you I will not platinum, no. But yo, I'm interested in rocking Dino Crisis. I haven't played that shit in forever. Am I going to play it for 10 minutes? Yeah, but it's going to be a fun 10 minutes. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what all these will be. Yeah, for sure.
But that's the thing. It's going to be a super dope couple hours of just 10 minutes of this, 10 minutes of that. You know, but hopefully one of them sticks. And I'm like, you know what? I mean, I'm replaying Final Fantasy X right now, and I was talking about it on Gamescast. But I'm like, yo, man, there's some magic to some of this old shit that I've been writing off for too long. So I'm going to show some goddamn respect to these PlayStation classics when this thing launches in North America, whenever the fuck it happens. What, June 12th or some shit?
Yeah,
I think we're going to be busy. I'll get to it like June 15th. But
that's the thing. It's like when they're putting these dates out, I'm like, I ain't got time for this. The Summer Game Fest, I got a million things going on. I don't have time for worrying about when I'm getting to play Siphon Filter again, but it'll be there when it's there.
Yeah.
Number 8 on the Roper Report, the Fortnite finale is imminent. Epic's talking about it. Their press release reads like this. Mark your calendars and jump into Fortnite on Saturday, June 4th at 4 p.m. Eastern for the Chapter 3 Season 2 finale. The fate of the Zero Point will be decided with this one-time in-game event, Collision. The collision playlist will be available in Fortnite 30 minutes prior to the 4 p.m. Eastern start time, giving players enough time to suit up. To get amped up for the end of season event, everyone who logs in on June 4th starting at 8 a.m. Eastern will receive an exclusive loading screen and lobby track. In the days leading up to the event, they'll have a bunch of stuff on the item shop, blah, blah, blah. Ensure that you have the latest version of Fortnite downloaded to your device, Xbox, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so anyways, oh, here's the... With Collision marking the end of Chapter 3, Season 2, players will want to wrap up any remaining quests and unlock all desired rewards before June 4th at 4 p.m. Eastern. Starting May 31st at 9 a.m. Eastern, Bargain Bin Week kicks off once again and cuts the cost of all character services and exotic item trades for your remaining bars. Remember, your bars will expire at the end of the season. Kevin, have you been looking after your bars? Are you excited for this collision event?
I definitely need to dedicate some time to get to the level 100 because I think last time I checked, I was level 76.
Sure.
So I got to get some work in there so I can get Dr. Strange and lock him down 100%, you know?
Yeah, I do understand. Are you going to get jump on June 4th at 4 p.m. Eastern and try to be there for the Collision Zero Point
event? I'll probably be moving around rocks and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like your life.
I always forget, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But did you enjoy the season, Kev?
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. Like, the no-build stuff has been great, and it, like, brought a lot of people back. We've also been doing a lot of fun private server stuff here on Twitch. Sorry, I had to sneeze midway through.
No, I understand.
But yeah, it's been a blast, and I'm as always, I'm excited to see what next season looks like. Hopefully, the zero builds will remain. We'll see.
Kevin and I will be playing Fortnite tomorrow, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, right after Kind of Funny Games Daily. So you got to take me from level 5 to 100, Kev. That's your job tomorrow.
We'll knock it out.
That's what I like to hear. Number 9 and final on the Roper Report. It looks like we maybe. Don't believe it 100%, but maybe Stray has a release date. Nibel pointed to a tweet today from PlayStation Game Size, and that tweet said, according to PlayStation Database, Stray is coming July 19th, 2022 at 8 a.m. Pacific. Maybe it's just a placeholder, they said. But as you know, Stray is a summer game, and like we've all been waiting for it and wanting it, but maybe it's July 19th.
It's the cat game, man. I'm interested in this. I hope it's good. You know,
me too.
I hope it's not just whatever. Because I will say, I've heard a lot about this Tokyo jungle game for many, many years.
Yeah.
And I just remember, oh, it's the Pomeranian game. And
I love that game. Yeah.
I have a new active interest in Pomeranians. And I booted it up and I'm like, I don't really like this game. It's funny.
For sure.
But like, it's really not that good.
I don't think Stray's going to be that.
Trust me. I know I'm making a very, very wild comparison here.
Okay.
But it's not like really. Small animals in a video game. Yeah. And it's, you know, but I understand Stray seems to have a little bit more. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to disrespect Tokyo Jungle here, but like artistry to it. So we'll see. I'm hoping it's good because it looks cute so far. Big fan of the neon lights and the big city vibes. And hey, man, everyone wants to be a cat.
Everyone wants to be a cat, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I would have to imagine we'll hear something at Summer Game Fest about that. That seems like a game Jeff could get and figure out and get all
that.
But I don't know, because Summer Game Fest is still so far away. Tim, if I wanted something more immediate, what came to the mom and grop shop? Say, well, go ahead.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah! Out today, GTA Online updates a classic mode this week with the Vespucci Job Remix, a new take on the original fan favorite car chase caper, free for all players. Aiku Sa Otomi will be available on Steam. Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown has a new Top Gun Maverick aircraft set DLC available. Golfy launches today on PC. My time at Sandrock, the second entry in the million plus selling my time series, lands on Windows PC, Steam Early I'm sorry, Windows PC via Steam Early Access in the Epic Game Store today. Help determine the fate of Golden Sands, the next Sea of Thieves adventure. Lost Sands is now live. From now until June 9th, side with Merrick and secure the vital supplies to help restore the stricken outpost, or ally with the Servant of the Flame and ensure it remains in ruins. I watched the trailer for this and I was like, all right, whatever, neat. But all the like Rare guys were tweeting, like, I guess this will have an actual outcome on the game. Whichever size you pick will actually change the face of the game, and they've never done something like that before, which sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Hatsune Miku Project Diva Mega Mix Plus debuts on PC right now on Steam. And then I didn't do this correctly today, so we'll go. Oh, Sniper Elite 5 is out today, and the PC and PS4 is what it's listed here. That's not right. There's got to be a million other platforms then. I'm just gonna read the game titles. You figure out what platforms are on.
Yeah.
Moolander is out today. Arcade Spirits, The New Challengers, Pac-Man Museum Plus, My Little Pony is out tomorrow. So is Arcade Spirits. I got ahead of myself there using releases.com. And so did Moolander. Damn, I was way ahead of myself and everything today. I got to figure, where's every look at release dates?
Where are they at these
days, Zach ever, dude? Did Zach ever come back from his...
He didn't, man.
What a coward.
Yeah, a coward. Honestly, anytime I do it, I just Google and I find Zach... a different page. It's unfortunate.
And there he is. It's a Wizen. You coward. You coward. That's what we say. We say that on Twitter. We send that and we send it. That's all. He'll understand the context. Don't worry.
I'm sure he will. I'm sure he will, Chris.
I'm sure you'll see it. He'll understand the context on that. New dates for you. Lost Epic is on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4 starting Thursday, July 28th, alongside a PC 1.0 release on Steam. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R is set to launch September 2nd, and Early Access demo is coming soon. Autobahn Police Simulator 3 will release on July 23rd, 2022 on Xbox One, Xbox Series X/S, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, PC, and Steam. And then Cubite Classics, Gym Power, The Lost Dimension by Pico is coming to Switch, Xbox, and PlayStation June 2nd. And then Dreamscom for Dreams, PlayStation, Media Molecules game, Dreams. Dreamscom returns. The in-game Media Molecule event puts Dreams community front and center from May 26th through June 12th. Deals of the day for you. We now have the June Prime Gaming content update. Prime Gaming and Niantic have teamed up to bring exclusive in-game content to the exciting free-to-play hit Pokemon Go. This month, snag exclusive content for Apex Legends, Fall Guys, PUBG Battlegrounds, Roblox, and more. The June free games with Prime lineup features six titles, including Far Cry 4, Escape from Monkey Island, Astrologaster, Across the Grooves, Calico, and WRC8 FIA World Rally Championship. I guess that's FIA, World Rally Championship. The Amazon Luna Prime Gaming Channel rotates its new titles to check out for free in June, including Moving Out, Luminous Remastered, Beach Buggy Racing 2, Hot Wheels Edition, Blood Rain 2, Terminal Cut, and Far Cry 4. For an overview of all this, you can go to Amazon Prime and check it out. And if you have Amazon Prime, please give us the Twitch subscription. You get one for free every 30 days. It doesn't auto-renew, and they want you to forget about it. Please use it on us. Kind of funny games. Hi. Epic Games Store is also getting a new freebie. The BioShock Collection is this week's free game. So plenty of free stuff for you to go get, Timothy Gettys. Mm-hmm.
And even if you get in a free game on the Epic Games Store, use Epic Creator Code. Kind of funny.
There you go. Help us out. Do something for us. You know what I mean? You know what else is free? Hanging out with friends. We have a segment called Squad Up where you can write in on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays together. Today, Frankfurter needs help on mobile/PC. Username he put is just KF. Let's see what he's going to talk about. What's up? My ex says, what's good, KFBFs? I'm looking to squad up with the best friends in Ni No Kuni Cross Worlds and have started a kingdom for all best friends to join. I'm on the Jade Gemini server, if that matters, and the kingdom is simply titled KF. I have to approve members to get in, so simply type in #GregSucks, S-U-X, in your approval form, and I'll grant you admission. Looking forward to seeing you all there, Frankfurter. If you want to join Frankfurter in Ni No Kuni Cross Worlds on PC or mobile, go search out the thing KF, the Kingdom KF, on the Jade Gemini server and say #GregSucks in your thing. Mm-hmm. Tim, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. We already talked about a fiscal year made up, so that's not good for me. You didn't link me the article. I don't need to do this. This is news and then game art. And then happy birthday, Kevin, says Ignacio Rojas. Nothing. We got nothing wrong. Just editorializing and things to add for tomorrow's show. Speaking of, tomorrow's show will be hosted by myself and Blessing. You can catch it live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames later. Right now, if you're watching live on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames, the show doesn't end. You got Snowbike Mike. You got Andy. You got Nick. And they're playing maybe Sniper Elite 5. There's a question mark next to it. I'm not sure if that's what's really happening. The calendar says Sniper Elite 5 question mark. So we will find out with you if that's what they're playing, ladies and gentlemen. Meanwhile, Tim and I have a post show to do, so you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, sign up and watch it when we post it. Of course, you could also get this show there ad-free. You can also get PS I Love You there ad-free. You can watch this record PS I Love You today at 1 o'clock. If you're watching live, that's just 2 hours away. There's so much stuff happening on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames that if you enjoyed the show at all, go over there and click the button. Remember, you're running out of days to get that Foxhound Portillo shirt that Andy made as a platinum reward. I've said a lot. Tim has said a lot, and we have more to say on the post show. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. It's neat.